You will hear a discussion between a filmmaker and a psychologist on the topic of mystery and suspense. For questions 1 to 5, choose the answer A, B, C, or D, which fits best according to what you hear.
Today we're talking to acclaimed film director Anthony Murphy and Helena Fitzpatrick, an expert on psychology of film and lecturer at Central University. Both masters of mystery in their own way, today we hope to unlock the secret of why people love a mystery so much and what tricks are used to keep viewers hooked. So, Anthony, some people call you the master of this genre. Tell us how you keep the audience on the edge of their seats.
Well, in my films, there's one thing I want to give the audience, and that's suspense. That anticipation you have right before something happens. To get that, as filmmakers, we've always got to keep something back and make the audience keep guessing what happens. We don't need to draw this out. It can be done in short, sharp shocks. Think of a door opening. It's not the end result that excites us. It's the potential threat lingering behind that door.
And what makes us enjoy that so much, Helena? It's not exactly pleasant, is it?
Well, science shows that this kind of suspense gives humans a physical payoff too. When we watch a suspenseful film, we're actually micro-dosing ourselves with neurological signals that would be activated in a real-life emergency. This gives us a rush, but in controlled conditions, because thankfully we're highly unlikely to have to cope with the conditions we see on screen, and in the cold light of day, we know that too.
Yes, and these rushes should happen at set moments throughout a film too, and in the overall story arc. In films, you can't just rely on the story to create this effect. Music, lighting, timing all ramp up the tension. Filmmakers are an old hand at using these effects these days, but sometimes they fall flat by over-maximising these tense moments, which can stop the audience caring. You've got to keep the stakes high. Know that the character might well end up in grave peril and hope they don't. The excitement can be tangible. Thrillers are the genre that makes suspense such an incredible experience, and we as filmmakers have got to be careful not to waste it. It's a whole other ball game from other genres like mystery books and their film adaptations. And I imagine the psychology is quite different too.
It is. Although there is one common strand for both, experiencing mystery and suspense. Both offer a way to be absorbed by something that is far away from our own worries. And this is what people enjoy in general. But whereas the audience are generally all squirming through a suspenseful film, with something like a detective novel, there is far less of that and much more mulling over all the possibilities. People tend to be attuned to information related to survival. And in a way, trying to solve a mystery is a subconscious effort to hone this skill. Along with this is our inherent desire to know all the facts. That's also what keeps us hanging on with a mystery novel.
It's got to be quite tricky to write that kind of story, because the main event has usually happened before the start, and the whole story is the unravelling of the truth. It's a completely different approach to how we as film directors work in general.
And do you think that mystery and suspense ever has a negative side, psychologically?
Well, yes, and one that's relatively novel. It's the rise of on-demand series, or seasons as we now nearly ubiquitously call them. Watching a series like that can be quite a stressful activity. In the days of terrestrial shows, it was easy enough to avoid a spoiler because each episode was aired at a certain time. Now, you can binge everything in one night and spoil it for others around you, sometimes unwittingly. Even if someone is just ahead of you, the speculation of who could or couldn't have been the culprit suddenly becomes terrifying. I've inadvertently done it to other people, and it drives me up the wall when someone does it to me. It's not generally a conscious activity. People sometimes try to avoid this kind of frustration by trying to steer clear of social media and the overpicking of ideas, and even sometimes their friends, just in case they stumble across what's going to happen. As a psychologist, I would say that's not a particularly healthy recourse of action. But I think it's a very common one.